I just want to make sure everyone knows that this this project that we're doing was primarily a project with all hands on board. I got the short straw in the presentation aspect. But I just want everyone to know that there's been a lot of work involved in this project, and the cooperators here are all part of it. Our cooperating nursery was Moon Nurseries in the upper part of Delmarva Peninsula in Chesapeake, Maryland. They're an 800-acre nursery specializing in trees and woody ornamentals, primarily with shade trees in ground. But they do have approximately 80 acres of container operation. And if you notice in the picture, there are two ponds, holding ponds, that capture irrigation runoff. And because of that, that Moon actually recycles a good portion of that water back into their irrigation system. Nurseries that do recycle their water obviously have to go through issues of certainly management issues, particularly with pathogen management. And it's not only with the fact that these nurseries have to sanitize their water. Most often it's using chlorine gas or other methods. But we feel as though probably a good portion of those nurseries are also using fungicides as a preventative towards fungal infections or disease infections in the plants. This causes economic issues and environmental issues potentially, economic being that these fungicides are rather expensive. And environmentally speaking, it's possible that the overuse of these fungicides, you're creating resistant pathogens. And additionally, on top of that, this project also looked at the over or under irrigation of plants and whether that may cause stressful conditions to promote infections. So our question was, can we irrigate based on plant needs and not only optimize root and shoot growth, but antagonize the pathogen and possibly reduce the need for preventative fungicide use? This study was spurred from a problem in a Georgia nursery having problems with Phytophthora infections in gardenia, where over a third of the stock yearly were dying. Matthew Chappell out of University of Georgia and colleagues investigated the impacts of reducing daily irrigations by initiating a sensor-controlled irrigation system in a block of gardenia. And with that addition, they added a monitoring system with control. And they found that the nursery's gardenia loss dropped with decreased production times. However, what they couldn't figure out was exactly why, because the nursery manager, the irrigation manager, was very observant, and he ended up taking just basically watching what the irrigation control system was doing and mimicking it in the other blocks. To define that it was the actual irrigation system wasn't necessarily, we weren't necessarily able to do that because of his observant nature. So what we decided to do was develop a program of testing this potential out in two different nurseries, one in Georgia and Moon Nurseries up in Maryland. Our objectives were to, first of all, test the automatic sensor-driven irrigation system, to challenge it with the irrigation manager's scheduled irrigation system, to use a pathogen-sensitive species like rhododendron in our case, and to inoculate half the plants with P. cinnamomei, Phytophthora cinnamomei. We used Phytophthora cinnamomei in Maryland primarily because we had isolated that pathogen at the nursery. We were able to take it back to the lab, grow it out, and bring it back to the project site and inoculate those plants. We recorded water use and plant health primarily through measurements. The system was developed within a hoop house that was loaned to us by Moon Nurseries. We split the hoop house into quadrants, developing a system of irrigation for each quadrant, a separate irrigation system, utilizing a solenoid and a flow meter so that we could control and monitor the amount of water used in each of the treatments. Plant pallets were laid down, 10 per quadrant. We utilized the spray stake irrigation system primarily so we could get a better application uniformity. It's much more efficient if you have good application uniformity when you're utilizing sensor systems. We use two varieties of rhododendron, rhododendron chinoides and rhododendron catabiense album. Both are known to be particularly susceptible to Phytophthora infections. 240 plants per quadrant or per treatment. They were laid out on those pallets, 12 of chinoides and 12 of the catabiense in this pattern. We had flagged off plants that we were planning on harvesting throughout the study period. This is what the system looks like. We inoculated half of the plants in each of the quadrants, the treatments, so with P. cinnamomei, randomized in each of the blocks. We used inoculated rice for doing that. We dibbled a hole in the pot in each of the pots on those platforms or the plots that we were using. A measured amount of the rice, inoculated rice, went into the pot, and we covered that up. This was done in pretty much middle of July in 2013. This was the basic breakdown of the study design for the treatments. We used a Decagon, a wireless sensor system, for both monitoring and controlling irrigation. The treatments were laid out like this. The lower left-hand block is treatment A. It was time cyclic. That was the irrigation manager's method for irrigation. Treatment B was set point control, maintained at 43.5 volumetric water content. Treatment C was maintained at 47% volumetric water content. There was a different substrate in this treatment. We actually used a pine bark municipal waste compost mix with that one. And then with treatment D, we gave it was pretty much a wet-dry stress treatment, maintained at 43.5% volumetric water content, then let it go for a few days, dropped it down to 30% volumetric water content, then came back up to 43.5, back and forth to give it that wet-dry effect for stress on the roots. This is a basic summary of the design. Let's talk a little bit about the sensor networks themselves. These nodes by Decagon primarily have the ability to attach sensors onto. We were using capacitance probes, both with temperature sensors and also there was one type of probe we used, or the GS3, as Andrew talked about. It also has EC measurement availability. These controls, or the nodes, also had a relay for controlling the solenoids. That information is passed on to a data station in the irrigation manager's office, which can then be downloaded into a computer through a graphic user interface. The manager can monitor real time what's going on inside the containers, and at the same time control irrigation based on what he's seeing, he or she is seeing in the containers themselves. The system can also be, so long as the nursery has a stable IP address, the system can also be put onto a remote server so that the irrigation manager can take a vacation or two during the year and have that available on some sort of handheld device or a smartphone. The system itself, this is a picture of the SensorWeb system that Carnegie Mellon developed within the SCR Mines project that was done this past few years. This is the home page that you see showing the node position within the nursery. You can scroll over that node with a mouse cursor, and it'll bring up the information that node is showing at the time. This is a screenshot of the graphics, the graphic user interface, the graphics that the nursery manager can see on a daily basis to determine whether his plants need water or not. It's basically volumetric water content or whatever measurements that the manager is actually interested in. There's a scheduling page, an irrigation scheduling page, that allows the nursery manager to schedule the set time windows when that when those plants should be watered or not. For instance, in this case, the set point irrigation can occur any time between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. that day. And that's the only time irrigation will turn off or on. Then an additional set point control for volumetric water content could be added so that the system can maintain a volumetric water content within those containers. So what we were measuring was to calibrate those sensors to the two different substrates we were using, monitor the water use for all of those treatments, and also monitor the moisture level in all those treatments. We would then qualify the effects of those treatments with plant measurements. For the first set, we this was the last harvest before the end of the season in 2013. This is November. These histograms looked a little different, but because of the variability, the statistics showed that there were no differences between treatments A, B, and D, but there were in treatment C for both Chinoides and Katabiens. We feel as though this is most likely because of the media. That substrate was a pretty harsh substrate, considering it had a very high electrical conductivity, and most likely it wasn't very porous because of that compost. So it was probably a very stressful media for these plants to be in. It kind of we wanted it that way to see if different forms of stress could promote Phytophthora infection. Additionally, looking at these, look at the bottom line in these columns. We monitored total water volume applied during the growing season between June and November. The irrigation manager's timed irrigation applied approximately 21,000 liters to those 240 plants. In the same sense, with the set point control systems, we used about 58%. Of that within the irrigation manager's set points, or is the timed irrigation, and then with that stress treatment, the wet-dry stress treatment, it was only about 37% of that water in comparison to the cyclic irrigation by the irrigation manager. So right there, knowing that canopy volume measurements that I had shown earlier in those graphic in the histograms. That even with the reduced amount of water by almost 50%, we were still getting very little growth differences in that. So in this light, we can certainly understand that this system, and even the fact that it's possible that we are really over irrigating our plants is kind of dramatically shown right here. Interestingly enough, what really pumped up the treatment C volumes was that we really had to irrigate the heck out of those plants in June because we were trying to get rid of all that all the salts in that compost during that first month. So we really had to utilize a lot of water just to bring the electrical conductivities down to more normal levels. Additionally, at that November harvest, we looked at new shoot leaf area, which is a rather sensitive indicator of plant stress, leaf size, leaf area. And what we noticed, of course, was the treatment C again. That substrate wasn't so good for rhododendron growth. Although in the nursery, they are utilizing this compost with other plants, and they seem to be doing well, according to the nursery manager. But in this case with rhododendron, they did not like it at all. We've also noticed that that with the inoculated plants, there was a reduction in leaf shoot area. And also with treatment B, that was our set point control at 43.5%, we had a relatively statistically significant increase in leaf shoot area or leaf surface area. Compared to other treatments, and especially with the inoculated control. What's really interesting with this, as far as the summary goes, is that the growth of these species was certainly affected by the type of substrate we're using. That compost media, which was not was too stressed on the rhododendrons. Weekly irrigation water applications were significantly reduced by that set point, which here it says 43.5%. soil moisture content. And that was just slightly below container capacity. So we could manage the water content in there without leaching, which is extremely important for nutrient management. The substrate cultures that we took from that November harvest showed that some Phytophthora cinnamomi was in the were contained within the pots, but oddly enough, we only got one infected plant with all the plants that we were testing, and that was actually in the bee treatment, I believe. So in that, what's going on with that reduced growth because of the inoculated Phytophthora, we're not really sure. There's obviously some reduced growth, but why exactly? It wasn't because the plants were becoming infected. So I'd like to thank Mark Van Eersel and Matthew Chappell for their cooperation down in Georgia with this. Xuan Hong, of course, with his knowledge in Phytophthora and irrigation systems. And Zach Beekler, also a student tech that was helping us quite a bit with the setup of this system last year. Okay, can I entertain any questions?
Why did you use
pallets? Pallets? We wanted to make sure that these plants were lifted up off of the surface so that there was any splashing, that we would not get the uninoculated plants infected with inoculated from the inoculated plant. So those pallets were just lifted up off the surface. Unfortunately, because of that polar vortex issue that we had, our plants in that house did not do well. So we have to redo this whole experiment over again using new plants. We were starting to see differences. While not statistically significant, we were starting to see differences, and we were hoping to carry this through this summer to probably to filter those differences out, but we weren't able to do it, so we'll have to see what happens this year. Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.